And so, based on our passage for today from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we find that if we want spiritual awakening, not spiritual deadness, but spiritual awakening, there are two things that we can do. Can we see the slide, please? The two things form the acrostic for the word UP, U-P, and the two things are unity and power. The sermon notes are in your bulletin. Firstly, unity. The slide, please. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Here the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And when Paul wrote, he wrote with great sadness in his heart, because what he saw was not a united church, but he saw a divided church, a church that was divided into four factions or four parts. The next slide, please. Some people in the church said that they followed Paul. Paul was the founder of the church. He started the church. So it was natural that some people felt a loyalty to him, like he was their spiritual father. That's natural. But there were others in the church who said, no, they follow Apollos. And who was Apollos? The Bible tells us Apollos was a very eloquent speaker, eloquent preacher, eloquent teacher. And so some people said, we like his teaching and we follow him. And yet there was a third group, and they said, we follow Cephas. Now Cephas is actually the Latin spelling of an Aramaic name. And the Aramaic name is Kepha. And from Kepha, we get the English name Peter, or as we pronounce it, Peter. We often call him Peter. And so Peter was the leader of the Jewish people and the Jewish believers. And so there were some in the church, Jews and Gentiles, who put all their loyalty behind Kepha, Peter. And then finally, there was a fourth group. And this fourth group said, we follow Christ. Now, of course, it sounds so wonderful to say we follow Christ. It sounds correct. But you know, when you read Corinthians, you find that it is wrong for this fourth group to say they follow Christ. And why was it wrong? Because this fourth group was feeling superior to all the other three groups. This fourth group felt that they are the only correct ones, and all the other three groups are wrong. So in other words, there was great disharmony in the church. And Paul, when he looked at this church, he said there are divisions in the church. Can we see the next slide, please? The word divisions in Greek is the word schismata. And schismata can mean divisions, but also it means a lot more than divisions. Schismata actually means to tear or to rend, to tear apart, to rend apart. And so if you can imagine the church as being the body of Christ, a division in the church actually means to tear apart the body of Christ. We cannot even begin to imagine this in terms of our own body. Our own body. Can you imagine that your hand wants to pull out your leg? Your leg wants to kick off your head? Your mouth wants to bite off your stomach? It is unbelievable, right? In the natural, this thing will never happen. How is it then that in the spiritual, this is what is happening in the body of Christ? There are divisions in the church. And of course, when we say church, we refer to the whole Christian body. There are divisions. Do you believe that your church is better than other churches? Do you? St. Andrew's Cathedral, number one, the best. Is that so? Or even if we are all from the same church, are we united? Does the 7 a.m. service think it is better than 8 a.m.? I'm from 7 a.m. Does the 8 a.m. service think it's better than 11:15? Oh, sorry, let's go back. 8 a.m. think it's better than 9 a.m. 9 a.m. thinks it's better than 11:15, right? 11:15 thinks it's better than 5 p.m. And 5 p.m. thinks we're the best of all. Oh, you know, this is tragic. This is tragic. It should never be a case of divisions in the church. Remember what I said. The hand will never pull off the foot will never kick the head, the mouth will never bite the stomach. In the natural, this will never happen. And so Paul says, instead of having divisions in the church, this is what he wants them to be. The next slide, please. He wants them to be, the next slide. He wants them to be, come back one. He wants them to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1:10. This idea of being joined together is in the Greek katatizo. And katatizo is actually a medical term. And it means to put together bones that have been fractured or to put together a joint that has been dislocated, like a dislocated shoulder, to put it back into place. This is what the church needs. Not a tearing apart, but a church needs a healing, a bringing back together. Even though we are different in many ways, yet we have the same faith. We believe in the same God. Fighting and quarreling destroys not only the church, but destroys us personally. And you know, life is too short for fighting. Life is too short for fighting. The next slide, please. Do you ever watch KTV, Korean drama? I think many of you do. I was following this particular show about a young girl named Gumbi. And Gumbi has a very rare disease. This rare disease causes her to have dementia, even though she's very young. She's not even 12 years old, but already Gumbi cannot recognize her school friends. When she sees her parents, she can't recognize them. And when she looks at herself in the mirror, she doesn't even recognize her own self. It's tragic. And then her disease advances. And as the disease advances, Gumbi gets more and more nightmares. And the nightmares are all about death. She sees death coming to take her away. And so she wakes up one day from the nightmare. She wakes up believing she has only one day left to live. But you know, this one day left to live somehow becomes a miracle. And suddenly, Gumbi can remember everything. She can remember her friends, her family, and herself. She remembers everything. Now, of course, when she tells her parents she has only one day left to live, her parents are devastated. And so they ask her, Gumbi, what do you want to do on your last day on earth, your last day alive? Whatever you want to do, we will grant you your request. And this young girl chooses to spend her last day of life with her friends. You see, she hasn't seen her friends for so long because she's been in hospital. But now she remembers her friends and she wants to see them again. And so the parents put her on a wheelchair and they wheel her into the school classroom. And when Gumbi enters the classroom, all the children cheer. They cheer for joy. And they tell Gumbi that they love her. Even the girl who used to be her enemy, now they are friends. And so it's a beautiful reunion, Gumbi and her friends. And then the day draws on, and then it comes to night. And then the picture shows Gumbi lying in bed between her two parents, and her two parents treasuring every single moment of their child's life. You know, this is just a KTV show, just Korean drama, but it impacted me deeply because when I watched it, I asked myself, what would I do if I thought I had only one day left to live? What would you do if you had only one day left to live? This young girl, Gumbi, she chose to spend it with people, not playing with toys, not doing things, but just spending time with people, her friends, her family. Because in the end, this is what we need in life. We need good relationships with other people. We need unity. Life is too short for fighting. Life is too short for quarreling. We need unity and good relationships. God loves and blesses unity. Next slide, please. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. This is God speaking. Next slide, please. Psalm 133, verse 3. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. Quarreling and fighting brings death, but unity brings life. It brings God's blessing. And so to have unity, we need to be quick to forgive. Because we all get hurt. Someone says a careless remark, not even meaning to hurt us, but we take offense. We get offended. If we are to have unity, we need to be quick to forgive. And so the question, who do you need to forgive? We've all been hurt. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to make peace with? I pray that even before today ends, we will make peace with this person. We will be able to forgive. Next slide, please. In search of awakening, we need unity and we need power. Next slide. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul was a missionary. The book of Acts records the missionary journeys of Paul. Acts 17 talks about how Paul went to the great Greek city of Athens. And in Athens, Paul used a very intellectual approach to share the gospel. This is because the Athenians loved to listen to great speakers. They loved philosophy. They loved new ideas. Ancient Greece produced great philosophers. Let's see the next slide. You remember Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, philosophers from centuries ago, and yet their work is read through the centuries, right to this day, respected even unto this day. The Athenians loved philosophy and ideas, and so when Paul was in Athens, he spoke this way to the Athenians. But what was the result of all of Paul sharing the gospel with great eloquence and great wisdom? Acts 17, 34 says, some people believed. Some people believed. How many is some? I can tell you. Do you know what number some is? Some is not a great lot. It's a few people. It's not a great number. And this is how it is, isn't it? That when you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel, and you touch a person's head, that's it. You touch his head, you don't touch his heart. I suppose it is possible for some people to believe in the gospel simply by hearing it in their heads. But mostly, it's a very long way from the head to the heart. And in my own case, I knew all about God in my head, and yet I had no faith until God touched my heart. And God touched my heart through a very personal power encounter. At that time, I was 21 years old, an atheist, and I had a lot of problems in my life. I even fought with all my friends, so I had absolutely no one to confide in, no one I could talk to. And I said to myself, there's only one person who can solve my problems, That person is God. But the problem is, God doesn't exist. God is not real. That's what I thought at that time. I was an atheist. Only God can solve my problems, but there is no God. So I'm in a real fix. But then I remembered studying a type of philosophy called existentialism. And according to existentialism, if you want to know whether God is real, you must first assume that he exists. Then when you assume that he exists, you can see proof all around you that he is real. But if you never assume that he exists and you try to look, you will not find any proof. So this philosophy said you must take a leap of faith, believe first that he is real, and then you will find proof. So this sounded illogical to me, absolutely absurd. But I had no better ideas. So I said, it's worth a try. So I said, God, if you are real, prove it to me now. I want to know if you are real. And what do you think God did? Nothing. Nothing happened. God never answered because I was so arrogant. Nothing happened. The next day, I was a little bit more humble, a little bit more broken. I needed to find God. And so I remember I was alone in my bedroom and I prayed this prayer. And I said, God, if you are real, can you please prove to me that you are real? Because I really want to know if you exist. And you know, God answered that prayer. Because after praying that, I felt a presence in the room. I was alone. It was my bedroom. I couldn't see anyone with me, not with my natural eyes. And yet I felt a presence, and I knew it was Jesus. And that was the point that I put my faith in him. That was the point I was born again. That was the point I rejoice, because Jesus is real. God is real. Amen. Amen. I became born again, not because of any clever philosophy, but because of a personal power encounter. Have you experienced the power of God? Remember I said in Acts 17, when Paul was in Athens, the Athenians liked intellectual arguments, so Paul spoke to them that way, and just a few people believed. And so when we come to Acts 18, the next chapter, you find that Paul moves on to Corinth. And in Corinth, although the people also liked to hear clever arguments, yet Paul changed his method. And he changed it no longer to intellectual arguments, but he changed it to power ministry. Power ministry. Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power. Amen. Paul changed his method to power ministry. Power ministry is when, you know, as Jesus said, you speak, you share the gospel, and God will confirm the word with signs and wonders. There will be miracles. The power of the Holy Spirit will be revealed. And when the power of the Holy Spirit is revealed, people's hearts are touched. Next slide, please. This is a photo of one of our 7 a.m. members. She's Maureen Fernando. Just before Christmas last year, she felt a terrible pain on her right hand. The middle finger of her right hand became very, very painful just before Christmas. And in the days that followed, the pain grew even worse until she couldn't even bend her finger because it was just so hard and it was so painful. And then on New Year's Eve last year, she couldn't sleep at all because the pain from her finger was so terrible. And so the next day, 1st of January, she went to see a GP. And the GP gave her some painkillers. But it didn't help. In fact, in the time that followed that, the finger pain grew even worse. And then under the nail, the finger began to turn blackish. And so the next day, She went to a hospital, A&E. At the A&E, they took an x-ray, they gave her antibiotics, and they said, you must go and see the hand specialist. And so the appointment was fixed, 4th of January. She went to see the hand specialist in the hospital. The specialist said, there's pus in the finger, it's swollen, and it's a bacterial infection. And this kind of thing needs an operation. That's what he said to her. And then a date was set for her to come back and see him. And all that time, Maureen was praying for healing. Maureen is a woman of prayer. Her family are people of prayer. She and her family were praying for healing. Some of her friends were also praying for healing, including my sister and me. My sister is also from 7 a.m. We were also praying for her healing. And then the day came for her to return to the hand specialist for review. And I remember that day because it was Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th is considered a bad day. But on Friday the 13th, when Maureen went back to the hospital to see the hand specialist, he had such a shock when he saw her finger because the finger was totally healed. There was no more bacteria, no more pus. And he said, in all my years, I have never, ever seen something like this, he said. Always, when there's a bacterial infection and there is pus, always an operation is needed. He said, this is the first time in all my years I've never seen anything like this, that your finger can be well like that. And of course, the family instinctively said, thank God. Now, this doctor, they think that he's not a Christian. But the minute they said, thank God, the doctor said, yeah, you guys should go to church more often. Praise the Lord. Because he acknowledged it's a miracle. And he acknowledged that it cannot happen unless God intervenes through his power. Amen. Have you experienced the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus wants to give us this power. Next slide, please. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 1:8. Jesus wants to give us this power. Do you desire it? Do you desire to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit again and again? You know, if you are filled with Holy Spirit power, not only will you see increasing miracles in your own life, but you will also see increasing miracles in the lives of people you pray for. When you pray for them, you will see God answer your prayer. You will see God at work in all his power, in all his glory. And church will not be a dead place. Church will not be a place where you fall asleep because it's so boring. But church will be a place where you rejoice because God's presence is here. And his power is here to heal us physically, emotionally, to bless us in every way, to give us his power that we can go and share his love with the world. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and let's come before the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to ask the musician to come and minister to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Spiritual awakening. We don't want to be spiritually dead, but we want to be alive. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. First, we need unity. Disunity blocks the flow of the Holy Spirit. Unity pleases God, but disunity keeps him away from us. And so I ask, Who do you need to forgive? Will you name that person now in your heart? Will you tell God? Say, Lord, I forgive this person for hurting me. Not once. Many times. Many, many times, Lord. This person has hurt me. But Lord, I don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. Lord, I want to forgive. Will you forgive this person now? Hallelujah. And in the coming week, will you find an opportunity to bless this person, to do good to this person, to say something kind, to do something nice with this person? The blessing of unity. Hallelujah. And power. Do you desire the power of the Holy Spirit? Because this is God's desire for us. He wants to give us all the power of the Holy Spirit. Will you receive? Will you receive? And if you desire this evening, after the service, I invite you to come forward to this place. There'll be a ministry team. We will pray for you. The power is not for yourself, but the power is so that you can bless other people. God desires to give you this. Receive. Receive. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for all of us gathered here today. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to bring a mighty revival in our midst, Lord. Yes, Father, a mighty revival, a mighty, mighty awakening. You are going to bring in our midst, Lord. You're going to start the work in us. Revive us first, Lord, and then revive everyone else. Father, pour out your blessing on this congregation. Pour out your blessing on us, Lord. Not that we are worthy, but because you love us. Because you love us. Make us instruments of your peace, that we can bring your blessing of unity wherever we go. And that we will have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that wherever we go, we can pray for people and we can see your power at work in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you would do this because you are good. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After this service, I invite you to come forward for prayer. We will pray for you. Hallelujah.